This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's get the thoughts of Trader Nick in the United States on this Friday. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Johnny. Happy Friday.
I wanted to ask you first regarding latest tech earnings, which we've seen from Google and Tesla, which were a bit disappointing.
That's right. Well, it's interesting because disappointing these days means anything less than picture perfect, right? You know, because the results on the stock would make you think, oh my gosh, they must have had something terrible happen. But not so much. The reality is that earnings, revenues for Google were pretty stellar, very, very strong, actually. They beat on both the top and bottom line. Very solid revenue, very solid earnings. Things looked very solid for the business. The blemish came into the picture when we talked a little bit about CapEx spending, right? Maybe no surprises here. The market does not like big tech spending a lot of money on AI and continued expansion of that spending has them a little bit worried. So I want to break this down because when we are looking at the stock price moving lower, it's not because bad earnings. It was because we are expecting now to see Google dramatically increase their CapEx spending. So while the Magnificent Seven have generally been moving lower in response to this, we'll get to Tesla in just a second. What's interesting is that the sellers of AI, the semiconductor trade, actually got a boost from this, right? Increased spending positively affects, obviously, the semiconductor stocks. So what's interesting here is that the market is very unhappy with the idea of continued expansion of their spending projections. The other thing is this is the first time, I believe, in either Google's history or at least being a public company, that they had such massive negative free cash flow on the quarter, meaning they took everything they made and they dumped it into building out their AI infrastructure. Now, there's two ways to look at this, and I think it comes down to this simple concept. If you're a Google, observer, shareholder, watcher, etc., if you believe that that spending is worth doing, this doesn't faze you too much, and maybe you're looking at this as, hey, the stock is getting a attractive dip. But if you're someone who is worried about where's the ROI on this amount of spending, to watch a company which has been minting free cash flow for years, like an incredible free cash flow ATM machine, turn all of that into negative. And actually, this is another component to this story. Google has actually been going into the debt market, like a lot of these other big tech names, to borrow more money to continue to even further spend and build out more on the AI front. Now, the reason this is so interesting is that you have a company that is going all in, essentially. Several of these huge companies are going all in on the AI spending. Clearly, they think that it is worth the investment, but investors themselves have their doubts and worries about so much spending going on. Now, we also mentioned Tesla. Tesla was down dramatically. And to give some numbers on this, Google hovered around down 7% on the day yesterday. And if we think about that, that is billions and billions and billions of dollars getting wiped out. These stocks are ginormous. And fun fact, Google actually, for some part of 2026, dethroned NVIDIA as the largest company on Earth. It's actually a bit of a race between Alphabet, Google, NVIDIA, and Apple right now. Believe it or not, Apple's actually coming back full force. But actually, we'll come back to Apple in a second because there's some interesting story there too. When we're looking at this Tesla story, though, they actually did miss on something in their earnings, which in this market, you cannot afford to do that. This market is very, very pricey. It's an expensive market. It's an enthusiastic, optimistic market. And hence, if you disappoint in any way, the market punishes the stock price pretty sharply, clearly on display with Tesla, which missed on their earnings. They had expansion in revenue, but their earnings came in worse than expected. And it was a pretty disappointing miss on earnings. The stock down over, I think at one point, I'm just going to do a quick summary here, about 14%+ yesterday on the day. That is another ginormous drop off. So to see tech making these kinds of moves, I think has the market a little bit on edge. If the generals or leaders of the market are taking such hits, it makes people a little bit cautious. And then I mentioned just briefly Apple, just to compare this story. Anyone who's listening, I encourage you to open up a share price chart of Apple. And what you will see is that while Microsoft, Meta, Google have taken on some pressure in recent times, notice how Apple is doing phenomenal. One thing that separates Apple from the rest of the Magnificent Seven is that they have much less in the eyes of the market of, or just objectively, they have less spending going on this AI race. They have actually taken the back seat to some of the big AI spenders and just said, hey, we're going to build the platforms for AI to use. Obviously, they have the iPhone and the Macs and all these computers and all these things that everyone uses. They're playing the hardware game and saying, hey, we'll let everyone else spend all that money on AI, and we will offer the platform for it to be on. Google, getting punished, and Apple being rewarded for the very same kind of two different extreme situations is very interesting. It seems like the market right now is rewarding companies that are not necessarily going all in on AI, and a little cautious on the ones that are. The last thing I'll say, Johnny, here, we've talked a lot about interest rates moving higher. I think this makes this even more of a hot pressure point, right? If you have borrowing costs that are skyrocketing because yields are moving higher, that challenges the story even further for all of this AI investment.
And it would seem all roads, Nick, lead to the oil price, don't they? Because we've been teetering around the $100 mark, haven't we, this week? It's slightly down today, but nonetheless, over the last few days, it really has risen quite sharply. And this is affecting the global economy more than anything else.
That's right. And I'm looking at today, we are down a little bit, as you pointed out, about 2% at the time of recording this from the start of the day. However, still to this week, we're up over 10%. And, in 1 week, that just goes to show you in trader land, understanding that oil is one of those things where it can catch you off guard and it can move very, very quickly. We are seeing that take place here this week, dramatically. We went down as far as, I'm looking at WTI down to somewhere around 68, 67. We have bounced back at the time of recording up 34%+ in just a few weeks. I mean, that is, think about what that does in nominal terms to the normal person going to the gas pump, a 30% bump. If I told you gas prices are going to bump by 30% in a few weeks, that suddenly shocks a lot of people's, budget again. So I do think you're probably going to be scrolling social media, listening to people complain about higher gas prices pretty soon, based on what we're seeing happen in oil. And that is a real thing. I say that jokingly, but in actuality, that is a weigh on the consumer. It is a weigh on inflation as well. And so I do think that these responses to tech earnings that we just got discussed are not completely detached from what's going on in oil, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with inflation, because we've had a good round of inflation data, but here we go. Oil is back up again. And that beckons the question, are we going to see another kind of press higher on the inflation story?
And it would seem all the data we've had over the last few days is somewhat irrelevant, really, isn't it? Because it's out of date and markets are reacting accordingly.
That's right. And I think that's an important point to think about here is how much credence and credit do you give to the recent data that we have seen, given that the new data will reflect that 30% increase in the price of oil that we just got done discussing. I do think it still matters. It still tells us a little bit about how the sensitivity to the economy is with input prices. When we're looking at inflation statistics and growth metrics, et cetera, I will say that during the conflict, the initial onset that we saw, impressively, the stock market earnings continued to move higher. The economy seemed to not, miss a beat, really. But I do wonder if, we stay elevated for a suspended period of time in gas prices, does that start to wither away the resilience of the economy? And I think, maybe the way of thinking of this is it's been resilient, but how long can it remain resilient? If you put pressure on it long enough, if people are forced to cut back their spending long enough, does that start to weigh? I would argue probably it does.
Yeah, it would seem that the so-called memorandum of understanding came just in the nick of time, and markets recovered as we saw as you mentioned, the oil price really drifted a lot lower. But it would seem that markets now have basically had enough, and they are worried about the long term because this doesn't seem to be going away. That is a big problem. What about the week ahead, Nick? What should we look out for?
Yeah, so this week was actually, despite it being headline central with all of the Middle East conflict and worries of that side of things, we didn't have a lot of economic data. That changes a little bit next week. Next week, we have Australian CPI on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have the big FOMC press conference. Of course, all eyes start to kind of dial in as we get close to the Jackson Hole Symposium, the annual event, where we will hear probably some interesting stuff from the Fed, specifically Chair Kevin Warsh. So we've got a lot of Fed stuff coming up down the pipeline. July 29th, that is a Wednesday, we have the press conference, which will be interesting to see. We have GDP statistics for the U.S. coming out on Thursday, of course, as well as our unemployment claims. We'll hear from the Bank of England on Thursday as well. We'll get the latest bank rate votes, which are always interesting to see if they're going to they're expected to hold rates, but we'll maybe get some guidance on where we're potentially going next on that side of things. On Friday, we have the Canadian GDP numbers and University of Michigan consumer and inflation expectations. So will be an interesting week ahead.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Johnny. Have a good weekend.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.